to show success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. Yeah. United we stand, divided we fall.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another fabulous and exciting and irradiated version of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, mutated to be with gills. Because unfortunately, it is now confirmed, yes, you may have heard, the radiation from Japan is now breaching the Southern Hemisphere. Permission to freak out? We're all gonna die. It's a description of a radiated apocalyptic universe. We'll have to test the freaking drinking water with a Geiger counter before we even swill it down. Oh, dear God, no. It's such a terrible thing. The entire world's gonna end. Society's doomed and everything is all effed. Oh, no. I'm actually quite serious, though. I just can't actually bring myself to tears on the radio. Unfortunately, the fact of the matter is, the copious quantity of fuel rods that were stored on top of the reactors, something like 40 years worth of fuel rods versus, like, what, a couple of years, 2 years, something like that, in Chernobyl, where the fuel rods went up. Okay? This is going to go everywhere. Solution to this, of course, was quite simple. You will simultaneously save the Japanese economy and protect yourself from dangerous ionizing radiation-y thingies and gamma radiation-y thingies and whatnot by getting yourself some kelp and seaweed, which most people eat when it's, you know, wrapped around sushi, right? Eat sushi, save Japan, save the world. There you go. Nice, easy solution for you all to enjoy your apocalypse with. Speaking of apocalypse, the skies above Christchurch have experienced some very, very strange phenomenon indeed, like enormous glowing blue balls of energy on the sky. Some people are talking about Project Bluebeam or possibly UFOs or something. Goodness knows what the heck that stuff is. There's all different hues and colours and different things. And also, to add to the extra crisis, ladies and gentlemen, among the confusion of UFOs and terrible radiation things, Japan's had another 7.1 quake and radiation warning. So, yeah. I say permission to freak out, bug out, get whatever you want to get done before you finish. You know? It's bucket list time. I'm joking. It's the lighter side of genocide. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. We're going to jam till the jamming's through. Just because the lights are out and the music's been turned off doesn't mean you have to stop dancing. A very special guest joining us live from the now irradiated Southern Hemisphere, it's Tony Knight from the Natural Salt Company. Tony, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Vinny. Thanks. It's good to be here.
Can I ask you a question? What is it about you that made you want to get into salt?
It was a natural evolution of some of the other. I've been in business since 94, actively promoting what I see as healthy products for mind, body and soul. I started off a little bit airy-fairy as a crystal shop owner, but I always believed that crystals and the inherent minerals are, you know, highly effective for healing in many ways. And the salt is really the ultimate crystal. It's actually a collection of minerals being crystalline, and it's the only, it's the only crystal that we eat. It's part of the mineral kingdom, and it's part of who we are and what we're made of. So,
are we all made of stardust and crystals, are we?
Well, we're made of earth, air, fire, and water, and ether, as I understand it. And, I guess you could say stardust is essentially all the elements. But the very important part of our earth element is obviously, animal, mineral, and vegetable. And the mineral part is the most primal part of our life, really. It's just as the earth needs the minerals, we need the minerals in our system.
I think it's like the essential necessary nutrients that people really require in their daily life are very, very rarely attained. You know, so many people are sick, you know, just walking around mildly malnourished.
And totally ignorant of just taking life for granted and not being aware and not being conscious of what makes us tick. And there is a very definite link between brain power and consciousness and the minerals in our body. It's the minerals that make our heart beat. It's the minerals that make our brain think. You know, when a neuron fires, it's an electrical charge. And it's specifically the salt. It's the salt that enables the bioelectrical function of our body to work. Yeah. And awesome. With water and with the other elements and some food, but the salt and the water together are the most primal ingredients that make up life in our body.
Then why can't we drink salt water then?
You can actually drink a bit of the seawater if it's if you know it's not polluted, but there are other organisms in the sea that aren't so great, and the balance for us, it's just it's just not a perfect, serving, if you like.
I remember I heard the story. I think it might have been Time magazine or something. But my understanding was that he sailed from Canada down to Florida with no water. Drank seawater the whole time and made it.
Yep.
It was like 28 days at sea.
Yep, and that's been well heralded. A lot of people who have been lost at sea have survived on the salt water, but it is quite a lot of salt for the amount of water, and it's important to have sort of the right ratio, and it's also the right composition of other minerals. See, a lot of seawater is predominantly just sodium chloride and water. You may have the odd bit of magnesium and a little bit of the odd other mineral in there. But with the Himalayan salt, which is my forte, which is my specialty of what I've been selling, that's got 84 minerals and trace elements. It's got just about all the minerals and elements on the periodic table of our science periodic table that exists in the universe. And it's in a form that is very balanced for perfect synchronization in your body. The minerals all work in a synergy or a synchronicity with each other, and they're in the right sort of ratio. You know what I mean? And you need mostly sodium. Sodium is the second most common mineral in our body after calcium. But sodium on its own, or sodium that has been processed with other chemicals, is highly toxic to our body. Himalayan salt is unprocessed rock salt that was from an ancient ocean, but it's one of the most ancient elements in our earth, the salts. This kind of salt has been manufactured in our earth, and it's been now presented to the surface of the earth. And mined sustainably, I might say, and a huge resource.
Well, how is it there? I mean, I don't know. At some point, you know, for example, have you ever visited this mine?
Yes, I have.
All right.
I've been right inside.
Are you by chance planning to go there again on December 21st, 2012?
Well, I haven't booked my ticket, if that's what you mean. But
but there's an idea to do it, you know. It's just like, hey, let's just take a family holiday to the Himalayas, the rooftop of the world, you know. It's just like, well, why are we going there? Oh, no reason, you know, it'll be fun. We'll just go see the Crystal Salt Mine. Come on, it'll be awesome.
Well, actually, you know what, if you're inside that mine, if any kind of real drama does go down in the world, you're in one of the most safest places. You're surrounded in caverns of salt, and they actually have a hospital inside that salt mine. Well, actually, they've just moved it out of there now, but they've made another hospital that's completely lined. The whole walls and ceiling are made of salt. And the premise is that by living in that environment, the air is highly ionized. It is very ionized with these particles that are kind of emitted from the salt. And they are very, very beneficial for your life. It feels amazing in there as well.
How exactly does that work? It emits a frequency or something that ionizes the air? How does it work?
That's getting a little bit out of my league, actually. Something to do with the electrical quality of the salt, and ions are obviously a negatively charged electron. And so, yeah, it is something to do with the natural electricity or natural bioelectricity of the salt that it's like, you know, the...
Like free radicals, for example, they're positively charged and they cause aging and untold negative health effects and stuff like that. So if this ionizing stuff emits the negative stuff, it just drops all those down.
Yeah, exactly. And you can kind of almost taste it in the air, you know. The veils are very thin there, and it's almost like the air is palatable and, you know... You've got the sort of walls of the salt, but you can almost feel like another layer that is in the air from the walls. It's almost like
kind of like gradient. A force field that you walk into or something.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like a force field that envelops you, and you feel very alive and very energized and very, very sharp, you know, in your mind. You feel very... alive. It's a kind of, unless you're there, it's hard to actually, with words, describe the feeling.
Well, it sounds just like a cup of coffee, really.
Good. Nothing like a good smell of a good cup of coffee.
And then you get, I mean, but of course you can't OD on the ionized air or something too much salt today. Well, what's a good call?
That's right. Yeah. But you can actually OD by taking it internally. It can take too much of anything, and you don't need to take a lot of the salt.
Really? How much, like, if I was to, like, eat some salt on a dare or something, how much salt should I eat so as to prevent my death? How much salt could I eat enough to kill me?
Well, you'd have to eat a lot of salt to kill you, and if you are not taking any water and you're just eating a lot of salt, you essentially will die of dehydration. And I imagine that that could happen pretty quick if you're in a hot country. The thing is with this salt, you can't have it without water. But you can't have water without salt or minerals either.
Mm.
The thing is, you just use it as you normally would on your food. Some people put it in their water, like I do. I find I put a bit of salt in water, or I make a brine solution where I actually dissolve the salt to saturate, and then you've got a highly bioelectrical kind of liquid substance there, and then you add that to your water, just a 2 or 3 mils of that water to your drinking water, to a big glass. It is amazing what it does. It ionizes your body, just as if you're in the mine, you're getting ionized. It's pH alkalizing your body, which is akin to life. In other words, neutralizes the acid. Acid is definitely degenerative in our body. It helps the water to... You see, water does not get into the cells unless the salt is in the water. So it helps to hydrate your body, not dehydrate, when you're using a natural, unprocessed, unrefined organic salt. When you're using an iodized salt from the supermarket, that's not iodized. The iodine is iodate. Iodate is a chemical that is made out of iodine, and it is not iodine. And a lot of people don't realize the difference. There is no natural iodine in there at all, and so your body can't absorb it, and it's just another toxin, along with anti-caking agents, which is aluminium. You know, and
anti-caking agents are aluminium. That's like in like all the chips and stuff.
Yeah, and anti-caking agents are made with aluminium, which is what sucks the moisture out of your body. And that's just the same reason as it sucks. It prevents moisture from getting into the salt, free flowing, and all that. Don't go near it. It is highly toxic, and a little by little, that is what is dragging us down and lowering our immune system, lowering your thinking process, you know, because it is a neurotoxin.
Mm. Well, see, my understanding of the iodization of salt is that back in the day, like 40s, 50s, something like that, everybody was walking around with these big lumps on their necks from their swelled thyroids because they weren't getting enough iodine.
And the goiter.
Goiter.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, and so after they iodize the salt, supposedly that solved itself. But I remember the same argument was for fluoride was that everybody had bad teeth back then when I was a young girl, and now everybody's teeth are great. But simultaneously, at the time they put fluoride in the water, they also introduced toothpaste and toothbrushes and supermarkets with refrigerators and such.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not exactly a causal link between fluoride and dental health, nor should there be a link between everybody having goiter and then suddenly iodized salt and then everybody having that kind of solved.
Maybe that's right. They get a quick fix out of it, and it might appear like it's taking the symptom away, but it's doing a whole lot more insidiously underneath that, and it's really not fixing the cause. It's just treating the symptom. You know, that's why the Himalayan salt has naturally occurring iodine in it, in its trace form.
Because a few people who have been telling about this Japanese radiation and stuff, they said, oh, don't worry, I'll just have some iodized salt, it'll be all right. And it's just like, oh, what you've just told me means that's not going to protect them at all.
No, but if they had a good quality processed salt or kelp, that's natural kelp that is free of any toxin, then that would be quite good for them. Kelp has natural occurring iodine. You know, it comes out of our sea. You know, it's the same as the salt in certain parts. You know, the sea is quite high in iodine in some places. And, you know, if they're having a good quality unprocessed salt or kelp, that can be very, very beneficial for them because they bind to the toxins and they pass them out throughout our body. Through, you know, when we go to the toilet, stuff like that. The kelp and the salt work really well together as a synergy. And just have a little bit every day. You know, that's the way the body likes it. You don't need to, if you're deficient, there's no point in taking a huge amount and trying to top up your levels. It doesn't work that way. Little often.
And that can also be kind of dangerous as well, as I hear.
Yeah, well, anything, you know, people can actually drown of taking too much water. You know, people can die of excess of everything, I think. You know, it's just about being in balance and about using your mind and your consciousness to regulate what's right for you as well. Everyone is different and everyone needs different amounts of salt, different amounts of water. If you're an athlete and you're running every day or every second day, you're obviously going to need a lot more water. But you're going to need a lot more salt as well, because when the water's passing out your body or you're perspiring, there goes your salts. And the only way for them to be replenished is by taking them internally.
Well, you know, that's the consequence, really, of having a human body. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, my very special guest, is Tony Knight from the Natural Salt Company here in New Zealand. And we'll be right back after the break with a few messages from our sponsors. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Even on the darkest day, welcome back to the lighter side of genocide. It's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. My very special Kiwi collaborator for today is Tony Knight from the Natural Salt Company. Tony, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, Vinnie. Cheers.
Right now, this Japanese nuclear disaster, okay, it's big news everywhere. You'd have to be living on the bottom of the irradiated ocean to not know what's going on. your personal philosophy and political persuasion, what is your take on what's going on really in the world today?
That's a big question. My take is that there's far too much power in so few hands at basically completely overrules our fair democratic political processes, are completely steamrolled by people who have this power, who have money. Money is... there's power in this physical material world, and I think that however, in saying that, this is a fantastic opportunity for everyone to reclaim their power many ways because of or in spite of what's happening. It's like a great paradox. There's a big split happening, I believe, between the haves and the have-nots. And it's like if you have belief and you have your have camp. If you have not belief, if you don't have belief in truth and justice and love and peace, then you're going to relegate yourself to always being a victim and always having nothing. And I think that there's a big power play going on in the world at the moment, and we're kind of like, in a way, we're like pawns in the middle of a game. And it is like a giant, you know, game or control. And we're witnessing some horrific things happening to the Earth, and the Earth is fighting back as well, and that with the weather and all these, you know, calamities that we're having, hurricanes and snowstorms and, you know, and tsunamis and all this. This is all part and parcel of how man has essentially gone too far in raping the planet, if you like. But also, this is about us. It's about, to me, it's about consciousness. I have this saying that consciousness is our true currency. And when we wake up to our consciousness of who we are, then this is all an illusion. It's an illusion that's playing out. And it's a fantastic opportunity. It's an exciting time on the planet, I believe, for us to reclaim our own power.
Well, you know, and at the moment, I think the power that we've claimed is the power to deceive ourselves. Oh, there's nothing wrong with the country. Meanwhile, there's a banking scumbag and they're selling out the entire country.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just like head in the sand doesn't cut it. I mean, we must have been doing some real psychological yoga to get our head that far up our ass that we can't see who's shagging us, you know. It's beyond a joke.
Yeah, we can't bury our head in the sand. That is into death. We cannot bury our head in the sand. We have to do something. We have to balance the world through trying to, rather than fight back as, you know, some people need to fight and some people, there's a good way to fight, you know. But war and aggression is just going to perpetuate the dramas and problems we've got in the world. We have to somehow, as Mother Teresa said, she says, I'd never go to an anti-war campaign, but I would support a pro-peace movement. You know what I mean? So we have to, just what you're doing with this radio and what a lot of people I know are doing, them some amazing things. There's a lot of amazing things happening out there that you're not aware of in the main media. And, you know.
Speaking of which, have you heard of mimetics? Mimetics.
I haven't heard that term before.
It embodies exactly what you just said. The idea of mimetics is that the more about an issue that you promote, the more that issue grows strength. For example, if you're anti-war, it means that basically you're just promoting war. Because
yeah, you are.
But if you're pro-peace, then you're just promoting peace. Right?
That's right, exactly. And I mean,
the concept with how you attack issues comes from a term of replacing what currently is with something that's better, not complaining about what currently is in the hope that somebody else will change it for you.
Exactly. And that's really reclaiming your power. Truly reclaiming true power is exactly that, is knowing who you are and who you're being, and then taking action in alignment with that, that does some earthly good, you know, helps the people, providing. That's why I believe in the salt, because I'm out there to try and, you know, create an alternative to most people didn't know there was an alternative to all salt was bad, you know, or, you know, but there are there are things out there you can do that set up a give people choice. And we have to realise we have choice. We have choices in this world, and we can choose to go down. We can take the red pill or the blue pill, you know.
And well, you know what? It's funny is that we're kind of given these. It's funny you mentioned that it's red and blue, right? Like Labour and National, Republican and Democrat, you know, and yeah. it's like those are our choices. It's like either one or the other, and it's like whenever somebody offers me two choices, I always ask, "Is there a third choice?"
Yeah, exactly. And,
you know, it's like here's door number one. It leads to a vicious tiger that's going to tear your heart out. Here's door number two, which leads to a toxic fluoride facility, which will kill you in 5 seconds after you breathe the vapors. And I was like, is there by chance a third door in this game show? I mean, what is the slaughter of the century? I don't. You know, I mean, this world is being run like a frickin' game show, where every question is a trick question, and every answer is disinformation.
Yeah, true.
So
we're just lab rats.
It's like the ultimate 360-degree 3D conundrum.
Yeah, I know. It's an insane upside-down world sometimes. I reckon if we invert all the major decisions are made in the world and take the exact opposite, then we've got something closer to a true world.
Exactly. Like, for example, the drug war. Now, currently people get tested to ensure that drugs are not in their system. If we tipped everything on its head, then everybody would have to test positive in order to be employed.
Yep.
Now, imagine what an interesting society that would be. I'm sure Domino's Pizza would rake in some cash, man.
Yeah. And you mentioning drugs, I mean, you mentioned drugs, and I think of, you know, the pharmaceutical drugs that, you know, are on this earth, and, you know, these pharmaceutical companies, there's a huge, they've got a huge...
Control over the health of people, man. It's like this medical, industrial, complexity, military type of experimentation on the public that makes the Nuremberg trials look like a teacher telling off a child in a kindergarten for slapping another child on the back of the head with a small plastic ruler, right?
Yeah, it's like a tea party in the Blumen Garden, you know, compared to what's going on there. And obviously, people think that they've got no other, they're just, you know, that's it, this is their lot, they've got to take this or do that, and, you know, there's no hope. And you know, that's, to me, is sad when people get to that stage where there is always hope, but it does seem like a very steep mountain to climb when you're dealing with these guys have seemingly such a huge grip on power, such a huge grip on society. But we can't lose our hope, otherwise then we've lost anyway.
It reminds me of kind of like World War II, right, where there was this huge extermination campaign basically going on. But you know, everybody was really fearful of the Nazis and terrible, you know, but they went off to fight, and sure enough, they killed him anyway, even though he was funded by the same bankers that funded them.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that just insane?
But my real beef is that the biggest eugenics final solution operation is currently in progress. In the form of the everything war, you know? If like, seriously, you walk out your door, even if you come home, everything around you is basically some kind of a weapon to kill you, you know? Like, your polyester carpet, for example, is poisonous to touch. So is your clothes. And the non-stick fry pans are poisonous as well. It's like the entire world is like Auschwitz, you know? We're living in a global friggin' Auschwitz.
We used to call it the pea soup of toxicity. We're just living in a pea soup of surrounded on all sides.
Yeah.
Even the clothes you wear, the polyesters and the, you know, and the synthetics and the paints and the, you know, it's, yeah, like you say, it's gone into every single nook and cranny of society and our things that we have. And this preoccupation with accumulating things, accumulating material things, and it's just, people have just bought into a very good media marketing campaign. And we just...
It's all thanks to Sigmund Freud's nephew, Bernays, who founded propaganda.
Bernays.
You know, brilliant, masterful guy. He was incidentally the person who was hired by an enormous company in the United States to push fluoride. And push it well, he did. And guess where he learned all his tricks of the trade? Doing war propaganda for World War One. You know, it couldn't be more obvious. Military precision is being used against everybody. There is a secret war going on your health, on your sovereignty, and on your financial situation. And believe me when I tell you, the people who are undermining you, who are ripping off all of your state assets, who are making sure that everything in your society is basically a poison chalice, they're not going to stop at how bad it is now, okay?
No, they're not.
They don't know how to stop.
So what do you think is the best thing, what do you think is the best thing for us to do in order, now that you're aware that all this is going on, what do you think is the best thing for us to what action to take
in order to... Well, it's, when you say us, there is a innumerable different amount of occupations, professionalisms and capacities that each and every human being is capable of fulfilling. Each and every one with unique properties and elements. So in terms of us, I don't know. Me, what I'm doing is I'm using my natural skills and talents and natural abilities to get the word out to people as much as is humanly in my capacity possible. Anybody who chooses to help me to do this, you know, people like yourself, or guests on the show, listeners, and all that kind of stuff, that is just another way of making my ability to spread the truth better, right?
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
If I was a butcher, on the other hand, I would find people who are organizing, say, group meetings, you know, to mobilize their communities. I'm a big believer in local community action. There are a million and one local community groups that you have not heard of because you have not looked. And each and every one of them appears very small and underpopulated. And that's because people haven't suddenly realized that the reason why this society is so malnourished, run off the rails, and absolutely destroyed is because they allowed their communities to be destroyed first. People don't know their neighbors. People don't care about each other. And if I had one piece of advice for us, this is something that does apply. You need to care about each other. Otherwise... he'll be next. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Tony Knight from the Natural Salt Company in New Zealand. And we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back! Oh yeah! The times are a-changing, and everybody who stands in the way of the water that is coming your way, just like every Japanese town, people are waking up and they are charging forth into the bowels of the enemy. And the enemy, basically all those filthy scumbags that wind up getting themselves into positions of power and causing enormous amounts of suffering, people like myself. Unlike myself, we have a fabulous Tony Knight from the Natural Health Salt Company. This is the final segment we will have with him today, unfortunately. Welcome back, Tony.
Yeah, cheers. Cheers, Vinny. Hey, I just wanted to say, too, actually, I'm with the Healthy Salt Company is our company name.
All right.
And, And if anyone wants to connect with me, they can connect with my Facebook, Tony Knight, on Facebook. If they want to, if anyone else wants to know more about what I'm talking about, feel free to send me an invite. I'd love to connect with anybody else out there who shares, you know, what we're talking about. And I just wanted to talk about a couple of other things that I'm involved in that people may have an interest in, if that's all right with you.
Go for your life, man. This is your platform.
I'm bringing out a guy to... People may have heard of Amit Goswami. Have you had the movie What the Bleep Do We Know? I wanted to talk a little bit about quantum physics. And Amit is a professor of quantum physics at Oregon University, or he was. He's actually retired now. And I'm bringing him to New Zealand in August, from the 3rd to the 7th of August. And I really believe in what this man is talking about. He's an amazing, originally from India, but American citizen. And I check him out, his website, amitgoswami.org. He's done a movie called The Quantum Activist. And I believe that we should all become quantum activists.
Or shortened to the quacktivist.
The quacktivist, yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, the whole principle of quantum physics is, you know, this is the new science. And this can be applied to our life. This is a way where we can actually bite back, if you like, using quantum physics-type principles. You know, this is a way for us to fast-track our life into, you know, into our purpose. The big thing about my... Big thing about me and my beef is that we should be finding our purpose in life. We should be finding that particular purpose that we have, each have, that will essentially bring us everything that we need to be able to, you know, do what we have to do in this world. And quantum physics and what Amit is talking about is just groundbreaking. It's at the forefront of science, but it's also at the forefront of metaphysics. It's where the two merge. And it really, I really believe if people are wanting some tools or wanting some knowledge of how to apply this knowledge to their life, you know, or how to apply, how to get to, you know, be a contributor to the solution in this world, then this is one really great way to do it, is by understanding how quantum physics work and applying it to our life.
Well, yeah,
the other thing
basically, principally, every action that you perform is a rock thrown into a pond, you know? You have no idea what the ripples are going to be.
Yep, exactly. And with consciousness aligned with our values, with a thinking process that's aligned with our heart, where we can use our biofeedback system in order to know what's going to throw in and where in the pond is it going to be thrown, and, you know, just getting the subtler aspects of it is, you know, only 3 degrees of adjustment can create a, you know, the biggest effect. And sometimes we're so close to, you know, we know what we want to do, but we can't seem to break through because we're just not quite in sync somewhere in our thought processes, our beliefs, our values, you know, our actions. And
we've been socialized into it, haven't we? You know, we've been, I don't know, conditioned, I suppose, by everything.
That's right, we have. We've been completely... It's like we've been brainwashed. And we have...
Well, it's not like brainwashing. It is brainwashing.
Yeah, sorry, thanks. Yes, we have been brainwashed. We are like little lab rats. And but all is not lost. You know, I don't want to dwell on them and what they've done to us, otherwise we can danger of going into victimhood or wanting to fight back aggressively. We have to just calmly take our power back and do what we know is right.
And you've got to realize that even a herd of tiny ants can take down a freaking big person, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And collectively, you know, what you're doing and all the people out there who are listening and all the lot of people I know and a lot of people that I know who know a lot of other people, collectively, if we come together, then there's look what's happening now with Libya, Tunisia, Egypt. These countries.
Yeah, the CIA is installing dictators and taking control of the region and forcing up the oil prices to collapse the entire world's economy. Is it all?
Yeah, well, that's one slant on it, isn't it? But then,
the truth is awful, but if it's funny, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on the show, mate. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, well, thank you.
All right. Catch you later, mate.
Yeah, cheers, Vinny. Thank you. Bye.
There he goes. And we'll see you again next segment, ladies and gentlemen, for hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in radio. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, The Lighter Side of Genocide. If you don't laugh, you'll certainly cry. We'll be right back. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation to fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses. Oh, kill the music, kill the music. I've got some great news. Great news, ladies and gentlemen, from the UK. Time for New Zealand to wake up and spread the word, and everybody in the United States as well. Record, 7 million people refused to fill in the UK's 2011 spy census. That's right. There is something a-brewing, don't you think? The amount of security cameras, the amount of BS on the news, although all of this, all of the crisis, everything's building up and people are really effed off and they are really, really not going to take it anymore, right? I see things like this and for some reason I only get encouraged for a momentary, point in time because so much more bad stuff starts happening to cause it. It's terrible, man, but isn't that just fabulous news? In New Zealand, we also have a census, which is going to be cancelled because of the Christchurch earthquake at a cost of, I think it was like $20 million, something along those lines, to the taxpayer, and that would have cost $40 million to do the whole thing anyway. You know? So they did $20 million worth of prep, and they cancelled it, and so they're going to have to probably do another $40 million again. It's just ridiculous. Because, and isn't this funny, the UK, US, and New Zealand all seem to have their censuses conducted around the same time. And that's just those. I don't know about other countries passing around their censuses. I would not be surprised if virtually every friggin' New World Order-controlled nation in this world winded up having their censuses done practically on the same day. Wouldn't surprise me if I heard that. But the problem is, all of these census workers are temporarily employed, and then what the US government does is they say, oh, well, you know, it's adding on jobs, because they work for 1 week, and then they fire them, and then rehire them the next week to do a different frigging area of census or something. This is ridiculous, okay? So the census created 60,000 jobs. Yeah, they just re-employed the same 1,000 people or something. It's just absolute BS. And the people who are taking the census, the information data hubs, are weapons contractors. Why do you think they want information on how much guns you have in your home? Why do you think they want to know how much you're earning, how many kids you have? Because it's data on you, so that when they come and they take everything that you got from your home and put you into a frickin' FEMA camp, they'll know what to do with all your stuff. And they'll know what's waiting for them on the other side of that door, so that they can plan ahead and outsmart you by using your own stupidity and complicity against you by giving away this information. Right? That is the true evil of the census. This is being used to draw up military plans against everybody for a frickin' police state. I mean, come on, man. Why do you think that they're passing the Patriot Act too? Why do you think they're passing the search and surveillance bill? They are taking over. There is no arguments you can give, only denial. Which I suppose is a very strong argument from the denialist point of view, of course, because they deny that it wasn't a strong argument anyway. You know, I just want to get real. And that's very interesting for me, because although the fact that I make fun of everything and laugh at my own jokes, which some people get turned off by, and I suppose, you know, fair enough. I don't mind. I find myself funny to laugh at, mostly, because I'm just that freaking ridiculous. I can't believe I even get to talk to people that I really admire. You know, it's strange. I try my hardest, try my best, but hey, goodness sake. At least I'm doing a heck of a lot better than a whole bunch of New World Order working scumbags in a bank somewhere. And I'm quite proud of that fact. Everybody else out there who's doing their part for the truth and patriot movements and getting information out and listening to every frickin' radio show from every frickin' network and watching YouTube videos and doing every single bit of information gathering that you can to try and make sense of this whole industrialized, ridiculous, medical complex world. Good on ya! Because that's exactly what you should be doing. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. It's the lighter side of genocide, because, you know, if you lose your sense of humour in this day and age, you'll go friggin' nuts. A very special Kiwi collaborator, David Cogler, joins us now from Waiheke Island, New Zealand. David, welcome.
Hi there.
Now, give us a breakdown. What news have you to report, sir?
Well, you're obviously aware of last time I spoke to you about having the babies of ours sort of stolen a couple of days before Christmas last year.
Yeah,
And we're just sort of getting sort of closer to sort of closer to nowhere, it seems, at the moment. But just going through all their, we just had what they call a family group conference, and or foregone conclusion is a sort of a tongue-in-cheek term for it, but it's just the complete, like, there's no other way that there's nothing else on this in a lawful society, no other thing that would let you do that. Like, that they just, no, we're going to completely control what questions are asked. We don't like the questions. It doesn't matter how relevant or anything it is to it. If it's a little bit sensitive, then you can discontinue this part of the conversation, or you will be ejected from the conference.
Don't you just love those type of conversations where you can't continue a conversation if you try to have one?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just, I'll bring an example. One of the ones that they got really uptight about was, like, essentially they're asking for us to do hair follicle tests. Okay, now we're not opposed to it as such, but it's just like, let's put it this way: if you were to just, like, pick people out at random, it seems like just pick some people out at random, take their children off them, and then tell them to prove to them that they're a fit parent, even though you've done nothing wrong. You understand? Like, that's dignity, true. Like, I don't know how much dignity the average person has, but you understand? Like, well, I mean, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's just the whole system, and we hit on Vince Seymour from KiwisFirst.co.nz on the show, and he's been talking about how the judges and all the courts are just completely corrupt all the way through the cause. And you know, my take, my assumption is that it's true and as true in the high courts and supreme courts as it is in the lower ones and family courts, and virtually every government organization just corrupt to the core, totally unfair, totally unjust, totally unlawful, and it's protected practice because every single one of the government organizations act in this way. They in essence form a cartel on human life.
It's actually the way that Child, Youth and Family operates is actually it comes under the they're a cult. The definition of cult is completely how they operate. You know, I don't know what the laws are as far as cults are concerned, but
An exuberant veneration for a person or thing is a cult, essentially, if you're really, really, really adamant about something, extremely adamant, and it's all you can do, all you can talk about, you're a cultist.
Yeah.
But, you know? And they're all into kidnapping children. Hey, it's a daily delight for them.
Oh, of course. Now, here's the thing, though, like, We've got two older girls, which we still have, thank God for that. But in this meeting, the conclusion was drawn that, look, we're not concerned about the girls. They're fine, okay? Like, basically, because they were not that they'd been included in any of this at any stage up until this family group conference. They were written down on the list, okay? So they were spoken about for possibly 5 minutes, and the conclusion was drawn between everybody that, There's no problem with them. They can stay in our care. But, and this is obviously where my ignorance in so far as law and that is concerned, is that wouldn't that sort of, if we're incapable and it is necessary for us to prove ourselves to be capable parents of our twins, then why are we still having, there's no problem with us having these other two? I mean, they're both children. Do you understand? Like,
yeah.
The consistency of it is just, it's crazy. Like, surely there would be a legal premise that was the legal precedent saying that, hey, well, if it's okay for that, then surely it would be okay for that.
Well, like, see, a block of butter has more consistency than Child, Youth and Family, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'm sort of like, I'm not trying to preach to the converted. It's just, I just don't know if, you know, I'm just intrigued to see if that, you know, if everybody else is, you know, having exactly the same sort of stuff, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Exactly the same stuff. Okay. And worse. And it's a thing. It's a global crime syndicate, essentially, Child, Youth, Family Service. And for example, in the United States, if you are in CPS custody, if you're a child, you are something like 5 times more likely to be sexually abused than if you're in any other family relationship. Right?
Of course.
and that's what it is. Essentially, it's human trafficking. You know? And what these
it
people...
Is. It is, absolutely.
I mean, come on, and the whole world doesn't see it. They see that for some reason, a parent with some infinitesimal reason can have their child, something that they carried in their womb for 9 months, something that they raised their entire life, can just suddenly be snatched away for some description of arbitrary reason and put in the company of strangers and put in the company and denied access to their parents who know who they are. Who a child needs for their very development, right? Doesn't that sound like a kidnapping to you?
Yeah, well, it's also like goes. I guess sometimes I just get a bit lost for words because it's so close to home for us. Of course, you know, it's trial by ordeal. They take them and then it's just a ransom. Absolutely, you have to do what we say. And this is how it actually got, and the way the wording was the other day with this meeting, they would change it. And towards the end of this meeting, it was like there was this, it was for hours, and they dragged it out to the point where you're sort of like, like emotionally just distraught and exhausted, and just kind of like wanting it to end. You know, you sort of your head's pounding from the fluorescent lights, like, you know, turning your brain to mush. And you know, you it is absolutely under duress if you agree to anything by that stage.
It's like you've gone into the Tower of London and sat on the rack, you know, for your brain.
Oh, you don't like us taking your children. Well, we're just going to stretch this out for as long as possible. How's that? You know, it's just this evil filth. I swear to God.
And the injustice of it is something akin to like the persecution of Christ. You know, I swear to God, it's unfreaking believable how much pain and suffering it causes.
I do know that it is upsetting though. Like, and there are a lot of people out there that if it isn't, you know, if something isn't happening to them, they don't care. I mean, they just the apathy. It's been entrenched in society, it seems like, you know. And that's why it happens, and that's why it's left happen. Oh, where there's smoke, there's fire, they'll say, you know, like, you know, I mean, they assume that that everybody, the general public assumes that the morals that you that majority of people have will be implemented or adhered to by these people, but it does not. Oh, they wouldn't do that. You know, they're not all out to get you, but they absolutely are. I mean, it's purely financially driven. There can be no other thing about it. And it is crazy. It makes you look around and go, is anyone else seeing this? Like, because, you know? It's a complete stitch-up, and no one's saying anything, and no one's doing anything. And it's just, you know?
Yeah, and you know, if you take something like this to the media, they're not going to talk to you. You know,
well, I've sent an email to Close Up and stuff like that. You know, haven't heard a thing. You know, I mean, it's obviously not sexy enough and stuff, and it's been around the block. You know, it's not new news. We're another family. You know.
Yeah, but that's not any excuse for it anyway. They just think about the first thing on top of their head that allows them to get out of a sticky situation where they might have to implicate the government or anybody who they depend on for their income, government-funded TVNZ, Close Up. it's just like everybody's working for their own self-interest in the media and politics and in these organizations as well, totally driven by money, totally driven by power, apathetic BS. You know, we've gotten to the point where this, like an echidna, you know, a complete contradiction, a mammal that lays eggs. We're producing something that is, by all rights, we shouldn't be able to produce, and that's a tyranny of a society that really kind of permeates into every single fiber of what it is to be human. And for some reason, people are okay with it. You know, they're totally brainwashed.
Oh, they know better than us. I mean, you get these the other side of the coin. Like, I mean, it's sort of what was it? Britney Spears or something? I think was what famously said once. Oh, you know, I think we should leave the president alone because, you know, I mean, he's an important man, and that we shouldn't argue. You know what I mean? Like, just
we should just trust him because he's the president, and you should trust me because I'm Britney Spears, and I've only made like about 1,700 sexually exploitative videos.
Yeah. But you know, it's just corrupt. All the way through, and they get away with it by just but you know what it says in there, that the first and foremost is that it's the right that the welfare of the child is paramount, and that's fine. Look, you know, it's unfortunate that there seems to be a need for an outfit to deal with you know, children not being brought up as they should be. But it just does not work, you know, like
Well, had you made any enemies? Because apparently, and this is very true in the States, and I have no doubt it's true here, they never come without a phone call, pretty much, protective services of some description.
Oh, of course. No,
and a lot of people use it as revenge.
We had an agreement with them that we'd had with our lawyer and them, and we'd had an agreement that we were following this plan because they got involved. At the beginning of it, they got involved in the allegations were false. We could prove they were false. They didn't care. You know, but the problem was is that at that point, we had our children, all of them. They didn't have any leverage on us. So we were doing guided by our lawyer, we were doing what was fair and sound, you know.
You mean you were being fair and sound to your children? Oh, you.
Yeah, I know.
How dare you?
And I mean, you know, they purposely didn't talk to the people they need to. It was just, you know, they wait for the opportunity. They can get away with it. I mean, then they just, and then it's there. It's this absolute ransom. It's like, we'll take your babies away. Now maybe you're not going to be so, you're not so, not so full of yourself now, are you, Mr. Parent? We got your kids now. So basically a knife at their throat. You know, to put in a way out sort of thing there, but you know, it's exactly how it is. Like, so you you aren't allowed to have dignity. You have to do as we say, and that's the end of it. Like, you have less rights than a violent criminal, essentially.
I mean,
they don't lock them up and then go and find evidence. You know what I mean? They don't sentence them and then find the evidence afterwards or try and find it, you know?
Oh, well, in fact, just recently a report came out from a retired senior judge. He looked at all the high-profile murder cases in New Zealand and he said that a startling 38% of them could have been innocent.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
That's far more than could have just been like totally by accident or anything like that. You know, when I see statistics that are like far out, you know, that are just very, very obviously stark, then I have to assume some kind of intention, you know. And when I see people intentionally screwing over other human beings, that's when I kind of have to get involved and just go, hey, look, you know, this is not on, and we're going to destroy you.
Yeah, there's this, like, one of the things is I'm not the first to say this and I won't be the last. There's no independent body to investigate SIF's wrongdoing that actually does anything as well. Like, they might investigate something, but they just get around it by shuffling people around. They don't necessarily get fired. Like, I mean, once in a blue moon, there might be one person that needs to be made an example of. But, you know, and there's no accountability. They can do whatever they like, you know, and it's up to you. And if you don't have any, now here's the thing, like we applied for legal aid at the beginning of this year, like as soon as our lawyer got back, which was around the, you know, 17th or a bit before of January. It's supposed to take 3 weeks maximum for that to come back to you, sort of 15 days maximum. We didn't hear back for at least a month and then they had declined it. Now we were perfectly eligible for legal aid, so they sent back in again and it came back declined again, and so we had to phone them up. Our lawyer, you know, obviously at this stage is, you know, if it's not they're money drip, they're coin operated, you know, it's they don't move unless the money is
The coin operated office bureaucrat, you know.
yeah. And I mean, the thing is I rang the guy up and I said, "Look, what's the story? My, we're entitled to it." And he's like, "No, you're not. You're only entitled to legal aid if you're defending a court orders and or trying to have them discharged." And I'm like, "Well, that's exactly what it's for. There's orders in place which either A, we wants to defend, well, and probably more likely would just want discharge. Well, I need evidence of this," he says. "I just can't have a bit of a story." And I was like, okay, if you read it, like, you know, I said, well, I've actually got a copy of this here because I asked my lawyer to send it through just to keep him on the level to make sure he wasn't just not doing it and telling me a story. And I looked at it and I said, look, I've got a copy of it here. There's an order right there. Oh, hang on a minute. He goes, gets his file, comes back. Oh, yeah, well, you know, those are just interim orders, you know, like... You know?
You know, it's like as soon as you make the ends meet when it comes to doing anything with these people, they just move the ends, you know? Exactly. Nothing is good enough for them, you know? It's like you've been set up every single part. It's like there's a freaking conspiracy of one. Yeah. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My special guest from Waiheke Island is David Cogler, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, yeah, and no one like me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo. But I'm here now. So what you wanna do? How many dudes you really know? Flow like this, like this, like this. Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check, check to the mic, check.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand, live from the future, from the fabulous, sunny, fluoridated capital, Auckland, New Zealand, with a privatized water supply. The Bolivians would be proud. My very special Kiwi collaborator today is David Cogler, coming as live from Waiheke Island. And those of you who remember the Free Man on the Land, Rob Menard, and the Redemption Manuals, as well as I interviewed a guy named Dario Ignacio, who's kind of going along the same lines of research and has managed to beat the family court himself. And I've just sent David a little link to the interview that I conducted with him there, and I'll even hook you up with him, David, and he might be able to help you to get your kids back.
Awesome.
Really
great. We've only seen them once since they were taken, and that was in January.
It's just, just after Christmas, huh?
Yeah, and apparently they can walk now, and we missed their first birthday, and all the important stuff that parents like look back on fondly, and all the rest of it.
But yeah, did they even do the courtesy of I don't know, putting your kids on CCTV so you can watch them from afar, like a sinister government?
No, but they were nice enough to tell us that they probably didn't even remember us anymore.
So. Oh, that's freaking brutal, man. Unbelievable. Yeah. The cheek.
Yeah, well, you know.
And, you know, it's so horrific, you know, that it's just out of this world. You know, no wonder nobody believes it.
I know.
You know.
But, I mean, I that's the thing, and this is where I just keep, like, going, what makes it even crazier is that for some reason we're okay to be parents to a 8 and a just-coming-up 5-year-old. Like, and so far as the law's concerned, they're all children, so they all come under the same laws, you know. And when, you know, I think... When we asked them about whether, I said, well, okay, hair follicle test. We said, oh, you know, we couldn't get them back unless we did a hair follicle test. The babies, this is. We have to go through hair follicle testing to, you know, we wouldn't get them back unless we did it. But we're still okay to have the girls. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you know, it sounds like, have you ever seen the movie Taken with Liam Neeson? No,
I just saw the end bit where he killed a couple of like people, and that was it.
On a big boat, you know, with some billionaire, yeah, and that kind of thing, you know, like a human trafficking sort of thing, and he's tracking down the bad guys and going and following this trail and killing heaps of people left, right, and centre. Basically, what you're going through is the PG version of that, which is still R18 to watch anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Except Liam Neeson, except, you know, us in the place of Liam Neeson, it's more like you're just getting worked over by an angry mob, you know.
It's more like
the other way.
You're more like Liam Neeson's daughter in the movie being held hostage.
Yeah, yeah, but beaten more.
Yeah. And not experiencing quite as nice doping up drugs, I assume.
Not at all.
You know, I mean, wouldn't it just be fabulous if they did turn up with some nice morphine so you can at least take away the pain of your missing children in the meantime? You know, it's just, there's no justice in this country, you know, or any for that matter. And I've come to accept that as a tolerable fact, that there is no justice. And the whole justification for my existence becomes an antithesis to the fact that we have no justice. You know, that's basically it. Because there isn't any, my life has to be about making sure there is some.
You have to be able to afford justice. That's as simple as that. There's no other way around it.
Justice is justice is cost prohibitive.
we've complained to everybody, like everybody that you can complain to, and we just haven't had a single reply. One of them sounded interested enough to apparently take our name and numbers down and stuff, but we still haven't heard back anything about it. We're doing it because it's what you're told, that these are the lines of action that you have to kind of go through, but you do feel half-hearted about it. It's like, well, we're going to go and complain to SIFs about SIFs. It's sort of like, that's redundant, isn't it? You know, it's just a conflict of interest everywhere. The lawyer because there's a lawyer for our children, right? Now, it's his job to look after the children's interests and their welfare completely. He's separate from child, youth, and family. However, I'm certain he's not on a salary, that he's a lawyer, that the jobs, you know, or his boss is, you know, if he's on a salary, then he's got a boss. And, I mean, a job's a job. Like, you get paid by the job. The longer the job goes on, the more they get. Like, there's a conflict of interest there. I mean, how can there not be one, you know?
How can there not be a conflict of interest?
Yeah.
And there's something that I talk about. If it's not intentional, occasionally good things would happen, but they never do.
No, if it wasn't intentional, then they would give them back.
Yeah.
Like, they've got all the evidence there to say that they did not talk to the correct people. They really jumped the gun here. We were doing everything, and we've got a letter from our doctor attesting to this, saying that we're great parents and that we weren't able to come into an appointment because they'd already taken away our children to do the same thing as we were doing anyway. And this is from on a letter from a doctor who we'd already asked two or three months earlier for a different one, which you are quite entitled to do. We didn't like her. We didn't think she was very good at her job, and we didn't like her attitude either. So we wanted a different doctor, which we're quite entitled to do, but she hung on to it, you know, and made these recommendations and stuff.
Sounds like you got targeted, mate.
Oh, well, that's the thing. We do rub people up the wrong way.
What did you do? I mean, I assume that whatever action has been taken against you is totally unjustified, but what did you do to set them off? I mean, I'm not implying fault or anything. It's just like some of the smallest and most insignificant things can really set these kind of psychopaths off and make them want to, you know, destroy your life.
Well, we had a doctor ring up Child, Youth, and Family because we didn't agree with him and had an argument with him, and he used it like it was
What was the argument over?
Well, we were concerned about our son because he had had this really bad cough and stuff, and they're going on about his weight and stuff like that, and we're like, yeah, that's okay, and they wanted to do more tests on him, and we're like, yes, but he's just about spitting his lung out. We can't keep food down. Perhaps we should get him a little bit well before we start looking at tests. Like, it's trying to fix symptoms when you should be dealing with the cause, you know. And that was it. We're just like, yeah, he's coughing really badly. You need to address this. well, we want to do some iron tests, and it's like we're not refusing them, but and also that we'd requested another doctor because he was just an idiot essentially, and he didn't like it. You know, there again, we rubbed him up the wrong way, and because you know, in the phone conversation prior to him ringing up Child, Youth and Family, he was like, he had to fall back on the old, I'm a doctor. You've got to listen to me. And you can't talk to me like that because obviously I'm a much better human being than you, you know? And the fact is that he hadn't done his job properly. And we went to see another doctor that day, and this other doctor immediately had him hospitalized, you know? Whereas he was doing nothing about it. You see, it was like, take the onus off the doctor for his you know, his inability to actually do his job, and put it on the parents.
Well, see, that way they wind up compartmentalising and sharing the blame, so it can't be squarely put on one person. So it kind of implicates everybody, which means it implicates nobody.
It's 3 weeks of diagnosis, but what's happened here is that, and yeah, I've missed diagnosis, and so what's happened is that for him to get around that, he's blamed us. Yeah, well, made up false accusations. And then to sweeten it up a bit, he threw in that we were injecting methamphetamine. yeah, because, like, when you go to the doctor, of course, why wouldn't you shoot up there? Because they've got all the stuff there, eh? Like, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man, as you do, man.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I mean, I can't go 5 minutes in the doctor's office without a squirt of crystal meth. Yeah. It's like we're living in frickin' Looney Tunes, except the Roadrunner does get eaten by coyote.
Yeah, I mean, we've actually written numerous letters of complaint to this doctor's outfit and stuff, explaining, asking why this has happened, and we listed the allegations, and the only thing that he could that they bothered to answer back on was that when we said that he hadn't been doing anything about, you know, our son. Well, he had given him a prescription of antibiotics, but this was like about the three or four ones earlier, which he was allergic to anyway. You know, like, yeah, and it was on record, so it wasn't a mistake. It was just complete negligence. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're Well, how much does a doctor's education cost these days? Or how much did that doctor's particular education cost?
How much is a box of Weet-Bix?
You know, 240K, something like that. And for a mistake,
about $5, isn't it?
And for this person to kind of throw away their career because they did a misdiagnosis which threatened the life of a child, and the parents being really, really upset with them, it sounds like a really good idea to early on use your connections to deflect and then blame the parents so that you get to keep going on life as per usual, and then make the parents somebody else's problem.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. We had gone to him. Initially, we went up there because it was really close to our house. It was within walking distance. And our daughter had, since she was born, and it's in her medical records, she passed stool all the time. Like every change, every 3 hours, she'd have a pile of poo in her nappy. And of course, that was giving him bad nappy rash, and we were concerned about it. And that's what we'd gone up there about. And he'd taken some things. We said, look, it's not for a matter of us not changing her. Like we're doing. You know, like it's just costing a lot of extra money and changing, and it's, we kind of need to leave her out of it and just be watching her all the time. You know, it's ridiculous. We want to sort it out. Her brother isn't like that, so you know, let's sort it out. But he put it down there that that you know, prolonged nappy rash is due obviously to the fact that we weren't changing them. I mean, you know, that's the sort of attitude. And had to throw in there because it is all sexist and stuff. Like the mother needs to be really at the forefront of this, but because you know we got four kids, you don't take all of them to the doctor if you don't need to. Being a worse, yeah, to get everyone sick from whatever bugs are being dragged in. Yeah, and so
yeah, I always say if you.
Yeah.
I always say, you know, if you don't want to get sick, don't go to a hospital. Because it's full of sick people.
Yeah, and anyway, he sort of said that my partner had never gone up to see him, like that she basically hadn't bothered to go to the doctor with the children as a mother, which was a lie. She'd been there on several occasions. So, I mean, it's just, you know, but it's not up to him to prove that these are right. It's up to us to prove that it's wrong.
Mm. Well, public pressure, either that or pressure on individuals, in my opinion, is the way to get what you want out of these sick Fs because of the fact that they are cowardly scum and they don't really have any backbone. So as soon as they feel personally threatened in some way, shape or form, whether that be professionally or legally or otherwise, you can wind up getting them to bend slightly back to your will, possibly back towards actually acting like a human being for a change, although sometimes it never works. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll be right back.
Know whose side you want, side you want. Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
What is about? There's something evolving. Wherever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me, it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the lighter side of genocide. It's one of those times of year when clocks get wound back, a little bit of time gets misplaced, and people, for some reason, wind up feeling a bit less rested and a tad more irritable than needs be. And to compound that, of course, the government's stealing away everybody's rights and selling off all our assets. It's just such a fabulous time of year. And it's almost approaching Easter, too. Maybe we'll get some Easter Bunny who might actually pay off all the country's debt. But I doubt it. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest from Waiheke Island is David Kogler. Welcome back, David.
Hi.
Mm.
Yeah, where were we?
Well, finally, wrapping up here, we wanted to talk about how, you know, you can actually beat these people. Now, you've been getting into the sort of free man movement and the redemption manual. What's all that about?
That's basically about, like, sort of drawing a defined line between your fictitious entity being that you that has registered. When you register something, you give away ownership of it. So inadvertently, when you register your children, you're giving away ownership of them. Now, when you're born in there, that's created. So it's actually a separate. It is classed in legal terms as a separate. Although they don't tell you this, so you can actually choose to represent your straw man, which is what it's called, or not, as the case may be. And there are, you know, most of the Commonwealth countries, as far as I'm aware, all have sort of a similar, are all based on English law, Magna Carta and all that stuff. And all these laws that have been that are actually there and are still there, you know, relate to common law, which New Zealand is, you know, is under the jurisdiction of as well, which common law relates to you being a flesh and blood individual. So, for example, if a policeman arrests you and reads you your rights, and they say, do you understand? You say, most people go, yeah, I understand because I want to have my rights or whatever. And it's like, well, it's not quite how it is because legalese, which is this terminology that they use, understand can actually mean something a little bit differently. Understand also means to stand under. So if you say yes, then you're basically saying, yes, I stand under your jurisdiction. So, you know. And in doing that, you give up your rights. So I've sent in my claim of intent of Notice of understanding and intent, and claim of right.
Claim of right.
Yeah, and denial of consent. You know, the thing is if you don't get your rights if you don't claim them. That's the thing. You know, like inactivity is doesn't really doesn't really work.
Well, I was just talking about how rights not only need to be claimed, but also need to be backed up with action, because you can't be given them, you have to take them. They're already yours, and you simply need to defend them appropriately.
So, but the problem is that, you know, your average policeman, especially in this country, I saw online there was a video posted about it, an English gentleman that was talking with a policeman about it. And that guy was like one out of the box, it seemed. It was the policeman actually listened to him and didn't essentially get angry and start beating him. But over here, like, they just don't bother, you know. They don't, I mean, perhaps it's way, you know, I haven't heard of anyone that's actually been able to, because essentially if you don't consent to stuff, then they can't, a policeman is not allowed to arrest a free man on the land unless he sees him breach the peace. He's not allowed to. If he does, he can be arrested. But try saying that when they're tasering you and all the rest of it. You know, so you need to have people that are willing to are willing to back it up, because otherwise, yeah, you're sort of like one on your own.
Well, that's the thing. They sort of manufacture whatever trumped up charge that they want for what ends, you know? It's like, for goodness sake, it's not like you really benefit yourself from arresting an innocent person. Well, you know, for a police officer, I mean, do they get more money for each collar that they get, for each fine that they give out? You know, is it like a bonus system?
Well, I believe that it's, they say that it isn't, but I believe that it's just like any job. It is, you know, I can't say because I don't know exactly, but apparently my partner's stepfather he was a cop. In fact, he was a pretty dirty one. But yeah, apparently as far as he's concerned, I mean, I'm not 100% sure about the actual figures, but definitely, like, if you seem to be one that's really a policeman that's really, you know, enforcing policy, you know, really well, of course they're going to be, like, likely to get a promotion, and of course there's something in it for them, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, they don't seem to be enforcing so much as they are just simply forcing, you know, that's their right. will over the people. And you know, protests, there was a protest against Israel the other day where the police just came out, and they were on a public effing sidewalk. And the police dragged them to the other side of the road, you know? Just ruthless, brutal thugs. Dragging them by the... Unbelievable. And, you know, it's just the same everywhere. Thanks very much, David, for coming on the show with us today. Hope to have you on again sometime, mate. And hopefully you'll have better news for us that time.
Yeah, hopefully. Thank you. Thanks, Dave.
All right. Cheers, mate. There he goes. David Cogler, ladies and gentlemen, from Waiheke Island, fight the power. Get your kids back and resist the state trying to take away your rights, your property, your sovereignty. Resist, resist, resist. Right? There is no option anymore. We're at the wall and we don't want to be cut off at the knees anymore, because it's just not good enough. All right? Freedom or death. Period. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Catch you later, ladies and gentlemen.